Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Scales Corporation half-year results. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Andy Borland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Scales half-year results announcement for the 6 months ended 30th of June 2022. With me today is Steve Kennelly, our CFO. Earlier this morning, we lodged our results with the NZX, which included a presentation pack, and that we'll base our comments on during this call. Steve and I'll run through the slides and then take questions. An agenda is provided on slide two. Turning to slide four, and there's an overview of the period. We're pleased to report that Scales delivered a resilient six-month result with an outstanding performance by food ingredients and steady earnings from logistics, but impacted by lower results from our horticultural division. Underlying net profit attributable to shareholders was $25.6 million, down 11.7% on the comparative period, and reported NPAT was $35.1 million, up 7.5% on the same period. As a result of the sustained growth in the food ingredients division, together with our belief in its global potential, particularly in respect of proteins, and the promising number of growth opportunities that are presenting themselves, we've made the decision to rename the division Global Proteins. I'll provide more information on this over the next few slides. Steve and I will also comment on the results for each of the divisions later in the presentation. Moving to slide six and our strategy for the renamed Global Proteins division. Given the recent results of the division, its growth over the last few years and its global potential, we believe that its name should better reflect its focus. As the graphs show, volumes of pet food ingredients sold through to the end of 2021 have increased by over 600% since 2015, and underlying EBITDA has increased by over 360%. The following previously outlined strategic objectives are delivering results. The divisional five-year EBITDA target of $25 million set in December 2018 was exceeded last year. We're creating businesses dedicated to providing key protein ingredients. We're expanding the reach of our supply networks and the range of proteins provided. We're partnering to further develop our supply network, and we're continuing to seek additional products and services. In short, our value proposition and competitive advantage, together with growing global protein demand, makes us confident about the future potential of the division. As you can see from the graph on slide seven, there is a distinct correlation between the growth in pet food and growth in human edible protein demand. We believe this is due to their related drivers, including a projected increase in the global population, a rise in pet ownership, and humanisation of pets. As a result, the disparity between protein supply and demand is anticipated to grow. We're seeking to position the group to benefit from this anticipated growth. Slide 8 depicts the current protein supply chain. As you'll see from this diagram, Scales currently operates in two of the three main areas of protein end products. An opportunity exists to expand our operations into edible products using our supplier and customer relationships together with our logistics network and our reputation for quality products. Next slide summarises our value proposition, which is our wide range of quality ingredients and supply chain excellence. Our global supply relationships and specialised processing ability, together with the skills and expertise provided by Scales Logistics, mean we believe we can source and supply premium protein ingredients and deliver them on time in the desired form for our global customers. Turning to slide 10, the critical factors in becoming a global strategic partner to our customers and suppliers include securing global protein supply and accessing new markets to accelerate our volume growth, expanding the types of protein offered in order to simplify the procurement process for our customers, expanding our activities within the value chain to lower the cost of production for our customers and add value to them through innovation, Having a global logistics network supporting our processing facilities, thus increasing the reliability of our end-to-end service and improving our brand. Slide 11 provides additional detail on our strategic objectives. We've already begun to action a number of the objectives and will continue to actively work on all of these over the short to medium term. It's an exciting time for the group and we look forward to updating you on our progress in due course. Moving to sustainability on slide 13, our focus for sustainability this year is to identify and confirm our future physical and transitional risks and opportunities. This will then allow us to revisit our material issues and clarify our key areas of focus. In addition, we're undertaking a group-wide baseline assessment for carbon and water, and the outcome of which will feed into our future carbon and water reduction roadmaps. We're pleased to report that our existing projects are all continuing to progress well. I'll now pass over to Steve to discuss the financial results for the first half of the year.
Thanks, Andy. Slide 15 summarises our group financial performance. As Andy previously noted, underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders for the 6 months to 30 June 2022 was $25.6 million, down 11.7% on the first half of last year. However, underlying NPAT was up 4% at $34.7 million, and underlying EBITDA was up 1% at $55.4 million. Slide 16 provides a summary of our divisional performance. Our group results were underpinned by sustained growth in the Global Proteins division. The division's growth is attributed to increased volume sold together with product mix and margin changes. These result in an increase in underlying EBITDA of over 88%. In the horticulture division, strong early in-market prices were more than offset by reduced volumes and increased costs, with the division delivering an underlying EBITDA of $24 million. Logistics generated a very positive result, notwithstanding lower volumes and difficult market conditions. Its underlying EBITDA increased to $3.6 million for the six-month period. Our balance sheet on slide 17 continues to show a strong financial position. Net cash decreased to $16.8 million over the past year, due primarily to the following factors: higher inventory and receivables in Global Proteins, slower apple sales, and increased shipping charges. The value of our agricultural produce inventory at 30 June 2022 increased by $11 million compared to 30 June 2021 due to the slower apple sales, and as at today, around 40% of the fruit remains unsold. I'll now hand you back to Andy to give a further update on the divisions.
Thanks, Steve. The graphs on slide 19 illustrate the significant half-year growth that has been experienced by the Global Proteins division over the last 5 years. Compared to the previous 6 months, underlying EBITDA increased by over 88% and volumes increased by around 13%. We expect the earnings for the second half of 2022 will be similar to those achieved in the second half of 2021. We're also encouraged by the number of organic growth opportunities that the division is investigating and developing, and we believe that these will further add to the division's growth over time. Slide 20 summarises the results for the horticulture division. As previously mentioned, this has been a very challenging season for the division and, indeed, for the pip fruit sector in general. Significant headwinds were encountered, including weather, labour, logistics, international markets and increased costs. Despite the outstanding job that the Mr. Apple's team have done, the combined effect of these disruptions has impacted the first half result, with EBITDA down 36.8% to $24 million. However, we're continuing to focus on the issues of increasing labour costs and difficulties in labour availability, and our packhouse automation project will help to address these issues. Moving on to slide 21 and Mr. Apple's volumes, as mentioned, this year's crop was affected by inclement weather during the growing season. Not only did it affect Mr. Apple, but it impacted the national crop, with current forecasts estimating the national crop would be down around 6% lower than 2021. In addition to weather, Mr. Apple's volumes were impacted by the ongoing orchard redevelopment, non-renewal of some orchard leases and cloudy weather that affected the size and bricks of the apples. As a result, Mr. Apple's total own grown export volumes were down 9% on prior year at 3.3 million TCE. Our forecast export packout is also slightly down on last year at 75%, and we're forecasting a decrease in both premium and traditional variety volumes this year. Moving to slide 22 and an update on horticulture's markets and pricing, the diversification continues to prove strategically beneficial and has helped to offset some of the effects of the difficult season. Whilst global inflationary pressures and increase in the cost of living have curbed consumer spending, we currently expect positive demand for the China Mid-Autumn Festival, with steady demand in other Asian markets such as Thailand and Singapore. Other markets are being impacted by matters such as high domestic volumes, low consumer confidence and the Ukraine-Russia war. Pricing has helped to mitigate the lower volumes and market pressures, with prices above or in line with the prior year in most markets, and Mr. Apple continues to focus on growing demand by branding and new varietals. Turning to slide 23 and an update on logistics, which has posted a strong result with underlying EBITDA of $3.6 million for the six-month period and an increase of almost 32% on last year. Scales Logistics has once again shown itself to be strategically important to the group and to its external customers. The team's skill and expertise has provided vital services to and to source solutions for its customer base. We believe we can harness this knowledge and capability in order to support the expansion of the group and be a worldwide provider of logistics services. Unfortunately, it's likely that global supply chain disruptions will continue into 2023, so we're fortunate to have such a reliable and experienced resource within the group. Moving on to the last item on our agenda, the full year outlook for 2022. As a result of the first 6 months of trading, underlying net profit attributable to shareholders for 2022 is now expected to be at the upper end of our previously advised range of $23.5 million to $28.5 million. Due to the change in earnings mix, the implied underlying net profit range has increased to between $35 million and $43 million, and the underlying EBITDA range has increased to between $65 million and $75 million. This updated guidance takes into account a number of factors, including global proteins earnings for the second half of the year expected to be similar to the second half of 2021. Earnings from horticulture remain subject to the success of the Mid-Autumn Festival sales in China and also a stronger finish to European market sales than was experienced last year. Mr. Apple currently has a higher level of fruit that is unsold compared to last year. The challenges in global logistics are expected to continue through to at least 2023. Also of note is that an increasing number of predominantly offshore opportunities to grow the global proteins division are being investigated, and we are excited for the potential that this could bring to the group. That concludes today's formal presentation, although I'd like to direct you to Appendix 1 of the presentation pack, which provides additional financial information and reconciles the underlying earnings to reported earnings for the group in each of our divisions. We're now happy to take questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Joshua Dale with Craig Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Andy and Steve. Just a few questions from me. First of all, on the food ingredients division, just referring to slide 19, you've obviously nearly doubled EBITDA this half versus the same period last year. Why are you guiding to the second half being flat on the second half last year? It's quite a large deceleration.
Yeah, look, clearly we had a really strong start to the 2022 first half year than the first quarter. And, you know, I think there was definitely, you know, COVID impact in those performance around, you know, positively. And we're just seeing now our big customers consolidating a little bit, so you know the demand slowed. So it's just more of a reflection of a small slowdown, but not material, you know, in the our customers' demand.
Okay, great. And just looking at your food ingredient volumes, they lifted 13%. Your earnings lifted 89%. There's clearly a lot of operating leverage there. Can you help us understand, first of all, what's happened to pricing and mix, and second of all, of your food ingredients cost base, what does a split between fixed and variable costs look like?
Yeah, look, clearly we had a mix, benefit from the mix change. I think I reiterate the real pressure that came on with Omicron globally. Meatworks struggling to, you know, find the staff, so it's harder to get something. We got the volume and we were able to sell it for a good margin. And various, you know, change of mix in the products as well, which we're selling at a higher rate.
And just on your cost base, the split between fixed and variable, I mean, presumably it's fair to say a lot of your costs are fixed, you know, on which you can get good operating leverage.
Yeah, well, that's showing out, but I mean, probably have to, you know, come back to you with a more detailed response to that question.
Sure, that's fine. Last question on food ingredients. You sort of talked to the Scales value proposition and competitive advantage. I guess from the outside looking in, I'm keen to understand what you're doing differently from competitors. You know, you're sort of taking offal from abattoirs, mixing it and freezing it, then selling to pet food manufacturers. How do you differentiate in that industry?
Work harder. But I think we're well positioned in providing the product from here, from Australia, from particularly in America with Shelby. And look, we're becoming, you know, very important to our customers. The logistics program that we run to get the products out of the meat companies, you know, through our plants or into tankers and off to the various pet food manufacturers and brands that we sell to, we believe our logistics performance is a key part of what we do there, and it's certainly, appreciated by our customers.
Okay, thanks. Just switching to horticulture, just on the unsold fruit to date, the crop was already lower than last year. Your selling rates are still lower despite that. You know, it's clearly making you a bit cautious on the second half performance. Is there any sort of colour you can provide on that? And I suppose your confidence around being able to sell the rest of your crop over the balance of the year?
No, we're confident of selling the crop, I guess, and you understand our accounting process in that we valued the crop in full for this result. It's just the way we have to do it. But we remain confident that we'll sell through the rest of the crop, absolutely.
Yeah, great. Just last question on horticulture. Your volumes were fairly down. Just trying to get a sense of, you know, your view of what a normalised crop volume might look like, if there is such thing as a normal year. But obviously, you know, fruit size and RSV availability and cyclones, you know, impacted this result. Just trying to get a sense of to what extent the 4.3 million is abnormally low, and what do you think it should revert to, you know, assuming some sort of normality going forward?
Yeah, well, look, it's certainly there's a chance for it to be what a normal for us would be, you know, a drier, hotter Hawke's Bay. I mean, that's normal, and we certainly didn't get that this year. So I think we would be confident of it returning to, you know, what our normally expected volumes would be, for sure. It was, you know, summer was wet and cloudy and it did impact fruit. We had a small cyclone event. You know, we had Omicron through the harvest, so there was a lot of, you know, challenges, let's just say. But, you know, we feel like the labour thing's normalising. You know, clearly the RSEs are sort of an interesting and talked about topic at the moment, but we are fully compliant with that scheme. It's a great scheme. It's a win-win for both, you know, our RSE workers and ourselves. And, you know, we pick a good, healthy crop, if you like, you know, and good sunshine in Hawke's Bay next year, we'll have a higher volume, there's no doubt about it.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Christian Bell with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Hi, Andy and Steve. Just a few questions from me, if I could. Sorry, the first one's a little bit long-winded, but I'll just kick off with that. Just on the global proteins division, as has sort of already been alluded to, margins obviously expanded quite significantly alongside some better product mix. But can we also put this down to the fact that it is a fragmented supply chain and your ability to provide a superior service to your customers? So hence, there is not one supplier that can put pressure on you, and your downstream customers will be happy to continue to pay the prices that you're setting. Therefore, is there any reason why the margin gains seen so far should unwind in any material kind of way?
Look, it's a challenging, if you like, we did kept supplying our customers through an incredibly difficult period through Omicron, you know, through the COVID. So I think there's certainly a higher margin and you know, performance in the business through that period, and a great credit to the team. But you know, our product mix is changing. We've made some different products in our Amarillo plant. We've commissioned our Dodge City plant that's working really well. I was just up there last week. It's a very impressive automated plant. And we're adding products, new products after, you know, in discussion with our customers. So, you know, that whole, you know, becoming strategically important to our customers is sort of what we're working on and continuing to improve on. So I think there is continuation, but yeah, we're sort of predicting, you know, the 2020 one second half for 2022, but I guess the gap back to our 2021 performance in the half year can be met by these future initiatives coming to bear in the near term. So, you know, like that, yeah, we do remain really positive about the division, and you know, as we've said, number of new opportunities in the pipe.
Okay, cool. So just following on from that, because I mean, obviously, earlier on, you sort of alluded to the fact that there has been a bit of consolidation, which could lead to, I guess, some less demand, I think you put it. But I mean, like the second half, the half-on-half slowdown is a decline of 40%. And so it's just, can you just help us, and given that the downstream trends remain quite strong, can you just help us understand a little bit better why there's a 40% decline when, I mean, there might be a little bit of volume decline, but then why would margins, obviously, you know, is the kind of variable is the missing variable there to sort of get to that second half 21 number?
Well, I think said to I said to Joshua, you know, the demand is slower than, you know, just kicking in now. We when we forecasted 2022, we said to you we didn't know how, you know, COVID impact was, you know, would be positive because of supplying under urgency, supplying under difficult times, you know, certainly helped the performance of the business. But I think that's sort of starting to normalise now, and the demand, you know, our customers are pretty well stocked. So, you know, we're definitely seeing a slower performance, particularly, you know, it's the middle of summer over there in America at the moment, and, you know, a lot of holidays taken there. August is there, January, if you think of it like that, or February, and, you know, a lot of people away from work, so it's just slowed down. We don't know, you know, what September, October, November, December are going to, you know, to be.
And so it has slowed down versus July and August of last year?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Similar to July and August last year, yeah. But I mean, you know, not like April and May this year.
Yeah, it's slowed down in comparison to the first half of this year.
Mm. Okay. So could 15 to 20 million of EBITDA, which is, you did 19 in the second half of last year, would 15 to 20 million, is that kind of what you're thinking for a more sustainable, annualising that to about 30 to $40 million of EBITDA, is that kind of what you're considering a more sustainable level for that division now within the existing business?
Well, we haven't really arrived, I suppose, at that number. We haven't sort of, you know, come up with a new forecast long-term EBITDA for the division. But yeah, we're saying that the second half of this year is, we expect to be more like the second half of last year. But just noting what Andy said previously, that there's a few initiatives happening in the division that can lift that number. So yeah, it's something that we need to work on, just what that long-term EBITDA target really is.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that. And then just the final one around the RSCs, obviously in the news at the moment. Do you see any risk to those sort of tail operators that are, you know, mistreating the RSC workers? Do you see that as a risk to the overall scheme, or do you think that because Scales is actually not in that group and has, you know, provides a much higher standard of accommodation and stuff like that, could it actually work to your advantage in gaining more RSCs in the future?
Well, we think we're getting our right quota of RSCs. I mean, there is, the governor's looking at increasing it, but, you know, 100% we comply with that scheme, like, to the book. I mean, we were the first ever, we were the trial company that RSC scheme was started on. So we're absolutely committed to, you know, providing, you know, proper accommodation, proper treatment to our, you know, very important workforce. So, you know, we wouldn't be in our DNA to do anything different. So we'd like to think that the government would make the scheme, retain the elements of the scheme to make it an ongoing, viable, you know, and incredibly important labour source for us.
Okay, that's great. And yeah. Then, so just on that, so are you confident that your number of RSCs will go back to the level that you require in 2020, well, the next season? And what is that number versus what you've had to deal with this year?
I think we're circa the 1,200 this year. And you know, if we could get another 100 or two more on that, we would definitely probably take them, and that's sort of what's likely because of what we're hearing out of the government lifting the cap. And it's really just about, you know, keeping everyone on track around keeping the hourly rate, you know, viable for everybody, the terms and conditions viable. You know, it's just not a free hit for everybody, if you know what I mean. It's got to remain, you know, we have to remain our competitive efficiency out of the scheme, and that's important to us.
Cool. Thank you guys for answering my questions. That's it from me.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Margaret Bai with Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Hi, Andy and Steve. Thanks for your time today. I guess just a couple of minor questions, given a lot's been already covered. On the global proteins section, you know, previously you've spoken to a $25 million target for, I think, 2023. Given that you're working on what the long-term target is, do you still think that you'd be in that range or materially higher? Is there any sort of high-level guidance you could give us?
Well, as Steve said, clearly we're very pleased with the performance of the division, and just couldn't be more pleased with the way the team are working. We're reassessing the opportunity, the potential of the division at this time, and you know, we'll have to get back to the market, you know, once we've got firmer plans on that. But you know, we've mentioned that we've got some some good opportunities. You know, we think we can get the earnings, if you like, bridge the gap to the runway that we've, you know, the first half we've had to get that into, you know, a more sustainable model in terms of, you know, the growth coming forward will backfill any sort of slowdown we have in the second half or next year. That would be an expectation, but we really need to get back to you with some more, you know, monetizing those objectives. Right at the moment we're in, you know, really much, very much in, you know, assessing these new opportunities mode at the moment.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. In terms of the horticulture division, I mean, what kind of mitigants or actions could you take as, you know, management or operators to mitigate poor weather if we have that again next year?
That's a tough one. We don't sort the weather out that well. To your question, we could. Hail netting or netting across the crops would be a negative for that weather, because they'd take more sunlight out. So the mitigations are really there today. Our natural mitigations are a diversity of where our orchards are. They're from spread from, you know, near Napier right down to, you know, towards Waipakarau. So it's about 70 kilometres. That our geographical diversification is our best protection for against severe events. But look, the team did a great job in a very difficult season. I mean, I think you're seeing other crops also were impacted, with quality. So, yeah, we'd like to think next year we see a return to the normal production and quality that we expect from that division.
Wonderful, thank you. And my last question is just around your CapEx plans for the full year and sort of how they look in relation to last year, and if you have any major initiatives coming up.
Well, we've still got the ongoing automation of the Whakatū packhouse, which, you know, we was continuing to, you know, do in a step by step or a stage by stage process, and we've actually got our the palletizing, robotic palletizing part of that automation underway now, and there's more to do next year, but I would say it would be similar.
Yeah, it'd be slightly higher than last year, given that we're only in the initial stages of the automation project last year, so it's some of the more expensive aspects coming through, so it'd be a slight lift in CapEx.
Brilliant, thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Borland for closing remarks.
Well, thanks everyone for taking part in today's call. We're actually proud of all the leadership groups and the teams within our group of businesses, especially the resilience that they've shown and results that they've generated in what can only be, say, quite a difficult trading period. So, look, we look forward to providing with a further update later in the year, and thanks very much for your support and interest.